Welcome to Geopolitics in Conflict Breaking News. What's going on?
Something very important is actually going on, and that is that OPEC Plus just rejected U.S. President Joe Biden's pleas for a hike in oil production.
Oh my gosh. What does it mean?
Well, I think it means a lot of things.
Well, this is why we wanted to do this breaking news. Why? It's because the significance of it.
Yeah.
You know, here is the United States being rejected by OPEC Plus as far as the demands that the White House has been asking for in order to reduce prices. You know, we all been, you got some gas if you are in the United States or anywhere in the world, you notice the price hike of oil.
And a pretty substantial price hike too. Yeah.
And that's usually, it's uncommon for us in the U.S. to see this kind of price hikes. Well, this one has now more significance geopolitically, economically, strategically, you name it. Because there's always that link, which a lot of people do not know.
Yeah.
There is that link between oil and geopolitics.
Would you like me to show? So we have, we have a meme that we found.
Oh, that would be great.
Guess who just called again?
Oh my gosh. That's the Saudi prince, right? Yeah, whoever thought. Saudis and the Russians are talking.
Yeah.
So whoever thought. Well, usually this one is, as a matter of fact, today was the OPEC meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're going to have another meeting soon, I think.
December 2nd.
December 2nd, yeah. But this is not only about that. This is about also to highlight the idea of, you know, here is the U.S. with its mighty status, whatever, is being rejected, which is a message in itself.
I agree.
For how declining American global power on the global stage is.
Yeah. Because could you imagine being rejected like that prior to this?
Wow, that's bad. But first, we need to share, at least explain to our viewers here, who are the members of the OPEC.
Yes.
OPEC stands for, of course, oil producing exporting countries. This started about, there are only five of them, believe it or not, when this started back in the 60s in Iraq, in none other than Iraq. So currently you have Algeria, Venezuela, Angola, Congo, Equatorial Guinea, Gabon, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Libya, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates.
Mm-hmm.
So those, and without going into more detail about the history of it, as I said earlier, this started back in the 60s with five countries. It was usually Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Venezuela. Then it grew over. Well, why did it grow?
Why did it grow?
It grew because oil became a political tool that countries
absolutely.
Can control over. But this is also what prompted the U.S. to play a role into all this.
Mm-hmm.
And where is that role came from? Using the US dollar.
Yes.
So as you know, most of the oil global transactions are conducted in the US dollar.
Yes, they are.
And that was the deal the United States made with Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
That deal didn't go back 10 years ago, 20 years ago. That deal goes back to 1930s of last century. And basically what it is security for oil. We provide security to the Saudis in return for oil.
Yep.
That is why the shock news came that the OPEC Plus turned down Biden's request. And that in itself is problematic. But this is now, there is one question that's going on just for you guys to know. And the question is, should the United States tap into its own strategic petroleum reserves?
So this is a big deal on a couple of fronts. And the first is because isn't that normally reserved for emergencies? I mean, emergency. And does this qualify as an emergency?
That is correct. That's legitimate questions. So to some people, to an average citizen, we say, well, sure, it is an emergency. How can we be paying more than $3 a gallon?
Right.
You know, in some countries like Holland, they're paying $8.
Yeah.
California is like $5. So to some, it said, what is the point of having strategic reserves in first place? Others, they counter arguing that by saying, no, that's only for major emergency.
Right.
Like, for example, what happened, because the U.S. tapped into it only three times,
mm-hmm.
1970, 2005, 2011, and I believe it was 2000. It was 1991, mm-hmm. 2005, and 2011. That's the only time the United States stepped into its own strategic reserves. And we only have four locations for those, two in Texas and two in Louisiana. And they hold about between up to 36 million barrels of oil.
That's a lot, but it's not an indefinite solution.
No.
And so I think a good question is, how did we get here? How did we get to the point where our president, Joe Biden, is going and basically begging OPEC plus for higher oil production? And so I want to say this quote. It's a quote from the CEO of Pioneer Natural Resources. His name is Scott Shields. And he said, the president is realizing all the efforts when he came into office of stopping offshore leasing, stopping drilling on federal leased offshore, New Mexico, both the Bakken and the Powder River have been starting to backfire. So, you know, while there are all these promises that say, we're going to get off oil, we're going to get off oil, we're going to get off fossil fuels, there doesn't seem to have been any structures put in place to switch the power in a way that worked, to switch how we get our energy in a way that is actually working in the real world. Mm-hmm. And so policies are being made, I feel like, without really looking at the reality of the consequences of them. You know, when you make a policy, you want to make a policy where you look and you see what are the results going to be of this policy before you make them.
Exactly. And that is one of the issues that has been hampering American foreign policy in a general term. This is where you see sometimes we embark on policies that end up backfiring, you know, the case of invasion of Iraq, Afghanistan, and all that stuff.
Right.
Well, oil is also part of that decisions as it far is. As how we move forward into deciding, okay, do we go with this policy or that policy? Mm-hmm. And now we are realizing, oh, oil prices are going up because now who's going to be hit the most? Are the average Joe, average Jane? Because now it's going to cost them more to fill up their tanks. Mm-hmm. You know, that means that has to take away from some other priorities. Well,
and we already have inflation that, you know, there's some official numbers on the inflation, but then there's the actual numbers. So prices of everything are going up very quickly. Yeah,
exactly. And by the way, just for you guys to know, we're going to have a guest tomorrow, without revealing his name, somebody who knows a great deal about the financial market. And we're going to be addressing this issue of the inflation because the government is lying.
Right.
We're going to say the word as it is. The government, as a matter of fact, I heard the statement by the Secretary of Treasury, Janet Yellen, saying that, well, we are hoping in the next quarter to go back to 2% inflation.
Uh-huh.
Come on. I mean, how much can you lie to? An average citizen might not understand those ins and outs. And average citizens worries about, do I have something to eat for dinner?
Right.
They're not going to be thinking in terms of, and tomorrow we're going to be discussing with the guest as to where this is going.
Yeah.
Because somebody has to say the truth.
Yeah.
Where the country is going financially.
Yeah.
The government's spending money that doesn't belong to it. Why will they care?
And
why will they care? And you think about it in terms of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear about this idea of infrastructure or building, whatever.
Right.
You know, why don't you cut down from the defense budget and use that money for?
Right.
It's common sense.
Right. Well, but at the same time, a narrative is being built, and we talk about this a lot. There's a there's always a narrative of what needs to be the next war.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course.
And so that's justifying this defense budget that I think is not in anyone's best interest.
Yeah.
Not at least not in the regular person's best interest.
Exactly. So just to go back to your point about the inflation, now you add this oil prices up, and this is what now prompting some central banks. As a matter of fact, I did find out that some central banks are moving towards expected the interest rate hikes.
Mm-hmm.
But Hanks is not going to do it.
Yeah.
They ain't going to cut it because you have the fundamentals in the economy that are shaken.
Right.
You know, more and more Americans are living in debt.
Yeah.
More and more our national debt is going up.
Yeah.
More and more we're printing money. Mm-hmm. What that's going to do to the currency?
Right.
And they expect like everything is fine. Well, of course, the government doesn't think of it in this term. Government thinks of it in terms of, oh, just keep printing money, you know, whatever. Just and every citizen is going to feel that one way or another.
Right.
There are those who's saying, oh, no. We can just print whatever we want. Yeah, we can. But do we understand the ramification of that long
term? No, and eventually there will be consequences. And we're already starting to see them. And I think that that is going to continue to grow. And this is just another, like you were speaking to earlier, that this is unfortunately the decline whatever your opinion is on this, this is the decline of the US. And
to me that's how I interpret it. As an analyst, I have to look,
I
look behind the picture per se.
Yeah.
So when you get to the status of the United States being turned down, that's usually an indication for trends coming down the pipe. I mean, you take this into consideration and you add to it, for example, right now, Russia is considering getting rid of the dollar altogether.
Yeah.
So China, of course, is moving forward with its policy. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we're going to be talking in our live stream about how China turns away the United States from the space station.
From the space station.
Yeah, that would be some interesting thing if you can join us tomorrow for the live stream. So all this to take it back within the geopolitical landscape, it's a seismic change that's taking place, and it's going to now make those countries in the OPEC take a step back and say, the U.S. can't decide anymore. Right. The U.S. can't dictate anymore. So we hold the cards right now, and they do,
and they really do,
because 400,000 barrels, it's nothing.
No,
usually that increase will require more than a million barrels a day.
Well, and that's what's being said, is that that's just not enough to cover the
demand. It's not, and that's
even
why
as much as 30% not enough.
Exactly, and that's why we're still seeing the prices the way they are. So, and I, you know, I'm gonna say it the way it is, and you know, I'm an optimistic guy, whatever, but I don't see this changing anytime soon. So the holidays come.
Yeah.
We'll be looking at this till the first quarter of next year.
Yeah.
How the market's going to react to all this.
Well, and I want, one of the reasons that we did this video and one of the reasons that we're really focusing on this is because here in the United States, I know a lot of you are not here in the United States, but a lot of what we're seeing is, you know, we're getting nonstop news on mandates. And we're not hearing as much about some of these other very, very real, very huge problems that are coming up. So the American people they don't always know what's actually coming. They don't actually know what's going on, because that's not what we're being told by the government over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And most of these press conferences are about these mandates and not about these very much bigger tidal waves that are coming.
Yeah, well, the government find it convenient that if they keep an average Joe, average Jane busy with some other stuff,
distraction,
he or she does not have time to think.
Yeah.
This is our problem in this country here. And I'll say it straightforward. We don't think enough because all we want to do is sit and have the news prepackaged for us. You know, this is the whole reason why we decided to do this channel in the first place, because truth matters.
Yeah.
And this is, we want to help the masses be aware to raise awareness among the masses, not only here in the US, but around the world. It's about time, you know, since when the government is going to be dictating every aspect of our lives. You know, we got to draw a line somewhere, and we're going to draw it forcefully if we have to. So, and well, one thing I would like to add just on this one here, just to ensure that, you know, what the expectations are moving forward is, as we said earlier, I don't personally, and this is my personal opinion, Elizabeth, you might have your own opinion for this, but my opinion is, I'm not going to see prices coming down anytime soon. They might decrease by, you know, 4, 3, 5 cents here and there, but that's nothing in comparison to when you jump from $2 to $3.
Right.
I know in some countries they have even more,
right,
because they go by the liter, not the gallon. I understand, yeah, the argument. But for us here in the United States, we're not getting used to seeing gas prices above $3. That's just unheard of. So the price is going to be going up because now OPEC find it,
right,
hey, it's a tool for them.
Right.
You know, because that's going to benefit their accounts.
Right.
Their GDP.
It is.
So are we to blame them?
No. And it does seem like they are taking care of their own interests.
Exactly.
And I think I agree with you. That's what I see coming as well. But the thing that makes me probably the most concerned about the situation is the lack of foresight, is the lack of policy foresight, because policies have been put in place that made this happen.
Yeah. And even the solution for it, mm-hmm, it can be done if there is willingness from the government.
Right.
For example,
right,
you know, this is just me thinking, you know, why not take $100 billion out of the tax, out of the defense budget, mm-hmm, okay? And you go ahead and build the refineries.
Yeah.
And process our own,
right,
oil.
Right.
We got enough oil here. So,
right,
why not do that? So it becomes the question of, is the government willing to do this or not? You take the same example for the shipment,
containers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why the government didn't move that bottleneck from California and move the ships to Florida?
Well, Ron DeSantis did.
Yeah.
He said, if this doesn't work, come on in.
Yeah.
And they're actually doing great.
Well, this is when you start to realize, and for you, if you are in the United States, mm-hmm, sort of you need to wake up. This is when you start to realize, yeah, the government playing politics with people's lives.
Yeah.
This is the livelihood of people. Can you imagine somebody spending a portion of his or her salary on gas?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to have to take away from other priorities at home.
Right.
And everybody in America, majority, I shall say, living paycheck to paycheck.
Well, and the price of cars have gone up. That's a very huge point of inflation, is the price of new cars and used cars have gone up exponentially.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if you're saying, you know, why don't you switch to an electric vehicle? Well, so where is that energy coming from, right? So
exactly. It's
not, we primarily in the entire world, we don't have green energy as a resource. And even a lot of the places that do have green energy, it's not reliable. So taking that money and putting that into research and development for actually sustainable green alternatives, that's not happening either.
No, it's all talks because it's, mm-hmm, not their money.
Well, so they're calling for policies that say, okay, well, we're gonna end the oil production, we're gonna end the leasing of these and not replace it with anything.
Yeah.
I think is the biggest concern, at least for me personally.
that's right. The
thing that I see as the biggest concern is, you know, taking these policies and not having the foresight to look ahead and say, these are the ramifications of this short-term and long-term.
So, well, you look at the double standards. So look no further than Glasgow right now. So
agreed.
Talking about green energy, and yet you got 400 planes landing there.
So I know.
That's a subject for another time. We all know that hypocrisy and so forth. Anything to add to this before we close in here?
Let me see if there's
if there is something else our viewers needs to know.
I think that's the majority of what I had. I do want to touch on the fact that OPEC Plus did have some issues hitting their own output targets.
They did indeed. I did read that as well.
But they say that those are being fixed and they won't have any problems in the future. We'll see.
But I wanted
to put that out too.
Yeah. That's for the domestic consumption.
Yes.
Remember, even OPEC Plus has to thank you. They have their own internal dynamics.
Yes.
So I remember when I was a kid, I used to follow way back when the oil minister in Saudi Arabia, Ahmed Zaki Yamani, used to be the oil minister, and how sometimes he will argue with the king, King Fahd at the time, about oil prices.
Really?
Because the U.S. was said,
do not
hike prices. Saudis wants to do it. So the bottom line to all this is that the idea of, you know, we looking at the shift in the geopolitical landscape before our own eyes.
Yeah, we really
When
are.
You got the United States being turned down after requesting three times, it is huge, it is big. So, and for you, we want you to know what to expect moving forward with these oil prices as we move forward towards the holiday and so forth. So tomorrow, do not forget to join us tomorrow for the live stream. Do not forget to join us on Saturday.
Yes, our members on Saturday, Ross and David are going to be doing a deep dive into the hypersonic missile, the entire situation surrounding the hypersonic missile and China's launch of it.
Exactly. And the security ramification, mm-hmm. global security, that is. But also we're going to touch on one key issue about the UFO shutting down U.S. nuclear facilities.
Right.
Back
which
then.
Is not. I also want to point out that's been major news outlets have covered that.
Exactly.
So to anybody thinking that that's, you know, wild, you know, crazy stuff, it's not. Major news outlets have covered this in a very precedent setting way.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we just wanted to talk about it openly. Mm-hmm. on that platform, because we can't talk about that stuff, as you guys know. So just remember to subscribe if you have not done so already. Your support means a lot to us. And make sure to check out our membership on the geopoliticsinconflict.com. We have like four presentations lined up already.
Yeah, we have three presentations scheduled. Vladimir Putin's friendship with China is in 2 weeks, and then the inevitable death of the U.S. dollar is in...
It's like three or four weeks. Like that. Yeah.
So we have those scheduled. We have a community where you guys can talk to each other on Discord for our members. So there's a lot of... And David gets on there. I get on there.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get Ross on there.
Well, he's busy, so whenever
yes,
he has
he
time.
Is.
And by the way, just we're going to be having also some guests for the members
yes.
as presenters.
Yes.
You know, that's something to look forward to. So just check it out and see for yourself. So, well, we hope to see you tomorrow for live if your mm-hmm. schedule permits. And as always, stay informed. Till next time. Bye-bye.